Lord, for this opportunity we have, Lord, to come together, Lord, and be encouraged by your word and by your spirit and be filled with your presence. I just welcome you, Holy Spirit, to minister to each one of our hearts, each one of our lives. We welcome you to manifest your presence, your power, your glory, your gifts in and through this place, in and through each one of your servants today. Have your way, Lord. Have your way. We yield our lives to you. Open up our spiritual eyes and ears, Lord, to hear what it is you're saying to the church today. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. I just want to let you know I consider it an honor and a privilege. I told the Lord this morning, I may get teared up. Then you know it's sincere, but I'm getting ready this morning. I was like, Lord, I want to let you know I consider it such an honor that you would use me. Just getting ready to come and share with you, that you would speak to me and through me to touch hearts and to change lives. Isn't God good? And I want to let you know I consider it an honor and a privilege that you all would trust me and you all would follow me as I follow Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's see if I can see through these tears. Who here, you can be honest here, who here has ever had a discouraging moment? One of those down, gloomy kind of days, you know, maybe even where you know it's an attack or you know that it's not of God, but yet it's hard to kind of like pick yourself up out of bed, or it's hard to encourage yourself in the Lord. You just kind of feel heavy-hearted. Well, God knows that, and God knows the stuff we go through. Amen. Not one of us are without some kind of attack here or there, and it's a persecution, really, because of who we are. And that's why God gives us equipment and God gives us words of encouragement so that we stand strong and so that we keep fighting the good fight of faith. Because let me just say this, it is a fight. We're not without a battle just because we're ministers. And we're just like you. And the Bible even says that brothers and sisters all over the world are going through the same kind of persecutions you are. That's not just somebody ridiculing you. It's the devil coming against you. That's what persecution is for the gospel's sake, for the Lord's sake. And so God wants us just to be encouraged. And I heard this in my spirit this week, Psalms 43:5. I heard the Lord speak to my heart. And all of a sudden there was a download of so many scriptures that I don't know I'll get through them. Psalms 43:5. David is talking to his own spirit. And really, God used it to talk to my spirit and to talk to your spirit today. Why are you down? I like this version. It's the Message Bible. Why are you down in the dumps, dear soul? Why are you crying the blues? Fix my eyes on God. Soon I will be praising again. For he puts a smile on my face because he's my God. Amen. We've all had those down in the dumps kind of days, those blues kind of days, those days where you feel like listening to the depressing music. Don't give in to it. But you've had those feelings or those thoughts try to come against you. And God wants us to be encouraged in the Lord, and he wants us to be like David, the man after God's own heart, and encourage ourselves in the Lord. David had to say to himself, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. He's talking to himself. He probably sounded crazy, but he was having one of those days. One of those days where things didn't seem like they're working out, where things looked discouraging. But God wants us to encourage ourselves in the Lord and to remember that he is with us all the time. In Psalms 50:15, the reason there's so many scriptures on this is because God knows what we go through. And God knows the world we live in, and God also knows the enemy that we're up against and what he tries to do. Psalms 50:15 says, call upon me when you're in trouble, and I will rescue you, and I will give you my glory. Psalms 145:18-19, the Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him, and he hears their cry, and he saves them. You know what the enemy loves to do? He loves to get us to hide when we're going through troubles. Why? He loves to seclude us so we don't have the encouragement of our brothers and sisters in the Lord, so we don't have the corporate anointing that breaks down strongholds and bondages. He doesn't want us to get where the anointing is that can destroy every yoke of bondage and set the captives free. He doesn't want us to do that. He wants us to get to where we're thinking, dwelling, and looking at the circumstance over the fact that God is with us and that at a moment's call, that he's there ready to save us. Amen. In Psalms 121, 2 through 7 says, "My help comes from the Lord, who made the heavens and the earth. He will not let you stumble. He's the one who watches over you. He will not slumber. Indeed, he watches over Israel and never slumbers or sleeps. The Lord himself watches over you. The Lord stands beside you and is your protective shade. The sun will not harm you by day or the moon by night. The Lord keeps you from all harm and watches over your lives." Why is God, you know, a lot of it is David. And I think that probably he went through some hard, tough times. He had the king trying to take his life. He messed up and got into sin, got off track from the call of God on his life. You know, and probably felt insecure about that, probably felt discouraged about that. And the enemy probably and physically tried to seclude him. And he had to dig himself out. And he realized the only way I'm going to get out of this is by calling on God. The only way out of this feeling of being down in the dumps is to call upon the Lord, and he will save me. And he discovered this was the truth. In Psalms 46:1, it says, "God is our refuge and our strength. He is our very present help in time of need." When we are going through stuff, the best place, and I remember my dad always saying this, when I don't feel like going to church, that's the time I need it the most. Because when you don't feel like going to church, when you don't feel like being around other believers, it's because the enemy is trying to get you to hide something. Or he's trying to discourage you in some way, shape, or form. Or he's trying to, he has a plan to try to discourage you. He doesn't want you around that anointing. And so he tries to cause problems to get us, our focus off of the Lord, off of the fact that God's with us always, and tries to get us downcast. Why are you downcast, O my soul? We need to realize and be aware of the enemy's tactics. Because I don't know if you realize this, but he's real dumb. He always uses like the two or three same tricks in people's lives. You know, your tricks or his tricks against you might be different than mine, but he always attacks one or two specific things. For one, it might be their physical body and a family member, coming at them, persecuting them. For another, it might be feelings of insecurity and feelings of discouragement. And for each person, it might be something different. And for another, it might be addiction and gossip. You know, whatever he might try to use, whatever way he's gotten you to give in the past, he'll keep coming back and do the same exact thing over and over. Now, if we would watch and pray and realize this is an attack of the enemy, this is how he always attacks, so I'm not going to give in this time, but I'm going to focus my attention on the Lord. I'm going to pray in the Spirit, build myself up on my most holy faith, and pray in the Holy Spirit. Then we wouldn't be more as susceptible if we would be aware and realize how the enemy attacks. In 1 Peter 5:8, he says, "Be alert and sober-minded. Your enemy prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking who he may devour." He's just trying to see and test and prod and poke to see if this time you'll give in. Are they going to receive my thought of feeling insecure? Are they going to receive my thought that, oh, I'm just feeling kind of lazy today. It's a beautiful day. I think I'll just, you know, do this or that. He's just trying to see how far he can take it to where, until you'll finally say, no, you're not going to put up with this. And he'll take it as far and continue as long as you let him. But we need to make a stand. We need to be encouraged in the Lord. We need to realize that God is with us. And when we're discouraged or when things try to come at us, just with complete confidence, call upon the name of the Lord. And the Bible says, and you will be saved. Amen. Amen. Ephesians 6:12 tells us how to wage war on the enemy. God's encouraging us that he's with us, but he gives us some instruction that to keep our guard up so that he doesn't get allowed in and doesn't have the permission to continue us on this path of discouragement. Ephesians 6:12 through 17, it says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood." And by the way, those feelings aren't yours. By the way, those thoughts aren't the real you. If you don't like how you're feeling, you don't like how you're thinking, it's actually not even you. It's the enemy, his thoughts and his feelings. Your mind is a battleground. And so he's trying to see if you'll accept that as your own. Until you accept it as your own, it's not yours. Ephesians 6, 12 through 17 says, our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Enemies, whether that be, you know, it's not against your own flesh and blood or your own mind, but it's against principalities and powers, against rulers and authorities, against the powers of darkness in this world, and against spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. So since that's the case, God says, put on the full armor of God so when the day of evil comes, when he's prowling around, seeking to devour you, seeking to plant a negative seed to you, seeking to make you down in the dumps, he says, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground and after you've done everything, to stand and stand firm. Not to be moved, not to give in, not to be swayed by those feelings or those thoughts or discouragement. Stand firm with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, which can quench and extinguish the fiery darts of the evil one. Take up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Having faith that God is with you, that he is close beside you, that he never leaves you nor forsakes you, that faith can quench the enemy and take, demolish and hit, stop those darts from coming at you and penetrating him saying, oh, nobody cares about you. Oh, you don't matter. You couldn't possibly do something for the Lord. You know, God doesn't forgive you. Look at how you messed up. All these things come against us at one time or another. And David, even though he messed up so bad in several ways, God called him the man after God's own heart. I love that, that God uses imperfect people. Thank you, Jesus. But he knew where his help came from. His help comes from the Lord. He learned that God is close beside him and that he is always with him. And God uses him as a great example to give us instructions so that we don't sink in and give place to the enemy's tactics. That's why he says to us in his word, don't give a foothold to the enemy. What is a foothold? You know, are you there standing around putting your foot out for the enemy to grab? What he's talking about is don't give that thought that he planted place in your life. Don't give the devil the time of day by dwelling and thinking on those things of negative report that he's been planting in your heart or in your life. Cast it down, all thoughts and imaginations that are contrary to the knowledge of God. Well, how are you going to know what the knowledge of God is unless you're getting in the Word? The knowledge of God is that he gave you peace, which passes all understanding. So if there's worry, fear, anxiety trying to come against you, and God says he gave you peace, then you're not to give thought to that thing of worry, anxiety, or dread. You're to cast that thought down. What are you doing by doing this? You're putting up the shield of faith. You're getting out the sword of the Spirit. You're putting on that helmet of salvation. Amen. God does not want us to sink into the negative thoughts. He wants to stand firm against these tactics of the enemy. It is a fight of faith. It's a fight to stay in faith. So how do you do that? You got to meditate upon the word of God. You have to know what is yours, what belongs to you. And today, God just wanted me to encourage you to meditate on and to get it into you through many, many, many scriptures. The Bible says, out of the mouths of two or three witnesses, let everything be established that he is with you. And he never leaves you. And he's close beside you. And all you have to do is call upon him. And he's ready to help in your time of need. It doesn't matter if it's financial help or physical help or family help or just feelings or thought life. God is ready to help. Nothing's too big. Nothing's too small. Nothing's too little that God wouldn't be concerned about it. He loves you. You're his very own children. Amen. Psalms 34:17 says, when the righteous cry out for help, the Lord hears them and rescues them from their troubles. Acts 7:27 says, they were there to look for God, that they might feel after him and find him, because he's not far from any one of us. He's just reestablishing, I am with you. You know, when I'm driving in the car, and I'm just always talking to the Lord, but he's with me. So I just imagine he's sitting in my passenger seat, and one time he did. I saw him there sitting in my passenger seat. I mean, his presence was so strong. And I'm like, oh, I'm glad you're here today. I know he's always with me, but when he manifests himself, it's so so real and so powerful. But he is always with you. So if you're sitting at a table eating your breakfast and nobody's there with you, just start talking to Jesus, because he's seated together with you. Amen? It's not goofy. The things of the spirit are more real than the things of the natural. It's just that we're so focused on the natural. The more we focus on him, the more in focus he'll be. Psalms 139, that's a key right there. Just write that down. Psalms 139, 8 through 10. He is always with you, whether you're high on top of the mountain, like, oh, I feel God's presence today, woohoo, you know? Like, I feel on top of a mountain after a Sunday morning service, okay? But I have to pray, and I've learned this, and bind every plan, attack, counterattack, or assignment of the enemy that would try to steal that from me. Why? Because the enemy immediately comes to try to, why are you grinning? Try to steal, because you're used sometimes? No. You got to zip it before service and zip it after. No, I'm just kidding. No, that's not true. I don't even know where I was. But God is with us on top of the mountain. He's with us in the valley. And he's always with us. But we got to know our authority, too. And we got to realize the tactics of the enemy. After a while, after having that happen a number of times, I was like, man. You know, and even specifically, I would have nightmares after praying for people. Oh, and I brought it to my dad, and, you know, I used to pray deliverance with him over people. We had healing rooms, and he brought this to my thoughts. He said, you know how always after we pray deliverance for someone, we bind every plan, attack, counterattack, and assignment of the enemy? He said, because the enemy's looking for somewhere to go, and so we'll just bind the enemy from trying to come against us or our family or anyone else connected. And we forbid him from returning, and then we would never get affected. However, I wasn't thinking about it in a prayer line. You know, I'd have a big old prayer line with the youth, and God would move powerfully. Not that there's not power in God, but it's just the enemy tries to get through any little crack he can. And I would have these weird nightmares the next, you know, that night. And I was like, what is happening? And I took that advice. I started binding every plan, attack, counterattack, or assignment of the enemy, and it all stopped. Amen? And so when you leave church, if you're ever, you know, attacked or some kind of weird things try to steal your joy or this or that, start taking authority. Use your authority that God has given you, your keys of the kingdom, to bind the enemy. Start using and just declare, nothing's going to steal the word from me. Nothing's going to steal my joy. I just bind every plan, attack, counterattack, and assignment of the enemy. Amen. Hallelujah. That's just a little side note. Psalms 139, 8 through 10, he says, if I ascend into heaven, you're there. This is a revelation David got. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. In other words, if you're like down in the dumps. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. So whether you're in the sea, whether you're in the air, whether you're on top of the mountain, whether you're in the depths of hell and just the enemy's trying to torment you, God is still there. So all you have to do is call upon the name of the Lord, and he's ready to save his people. He's ready to deliver us. But he's a perfect gentleman too, you know? And so if you want to be in the depths and swim around there, then go ahead. I don't like it. And so I call upon the name of the Lord, and he delivers me. And what he does is he brings me all kinds of scriptures that says that he's with me, that says he'll deliver me. Amen? We need to realize the Lord is with us and recognize that he's with us, whether I have that manifestation of his presence sitting in my passenger seat or whether I don't. It doesn't matter. He's actually there anyways. But it's nice when he does manifest himself, right? So I like this story because we need to realize that he's always there whether we feel it or not. 1 Kings 19, 11 through 13. The prophet Elijah, the Lord's talking to him, and he says, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." And it says, "Then a great powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake." Now he could be, but he had learned to recognize God's presence. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. And then Elijah heard it. He pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. And he heard the voice of the Lord saying, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" We need to recognize and be encouraged, whether, you know, because he had experienced the Lord in the fire, in the wind, in the earthquake, but also in the still small voice. But we need to realize whether we're in the depths of hell and discouraged and can't barely get ourselves out of bed, or whether we're on the top of the mountain feeling and experiencing the presence of God, and God's given us dreams and visions and revelations. All of that, it doesn't matter which place we're at in life. God is with us. He's close beside us. He'll never leave us, never forsake us. He's with us always. But we need to remind ourselves of that sometime. And we need to converse with him as if he is our best friend with us all the time. One preacher said, you know, the Holy Spirit's our best friend and he never leaves us, right? He's always with us. How mean would it be, how rude would it be if you have a friend with you who's coming to visit and they're sitting in your car, they're sitting across from the table, staying at your house, but you don't say a word to them? So many people are like that with the Lord, and even though he's sitting at their table, driving in their car, in their house with them, and they barely acknowledge him. He is with you, so we need to acknowledge him, and the more we acknowledge him, the less the enemy has the opportunity to try to discourage us and make us believe you're alone, make us believe there's reasons to be discouraged. God's not with you. God's not going to get you out of this one, you know, if you've messed up. No, he's right there with you. All you have to do is say the word, and he's taken charge of that situation. Amen? In Matthew 28, 20, and here's the thing. God, he watches over his word, and he performs it. And so if we remind ourselves of his word, and he's reminding us of his word, that he's always with us. And so we just start thanking the Lord. You're with us, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you're here with me today. I thank you that you're leading me and guiding me along right paths. The more you acknowledge his presence, the more you'll feel his presence. Matthew 28, 20 says, "I am with you always, even until the end of the age." Deuteronomy 31, 8, "The Lord himself goes before you." That was in one of our songs today. "And he will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid and do not be discouraged. He will never fail and he will never abandon you." So his solution for being afraid, worried, discouraged is to tell us, "I'm with you. There's nothing to worry about." The disciples were freaking out. The wind, the waves, the storm. "Aren't you afraid? Aren't you nervous? We're going to die. Don't you care?" Of course he cares, but he's waiting for them to call upon him, and then he'll save them. What happened as soon as they called upon him? Peace be still. It took them asking the Lord to do something about it. See, our faith should be in God enough to call upon him in our day of trouble, because then, as a response, he gives us rest. Amen. Psalms 34:7 says, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Psalms 46:1-3, God is our refuge. He's our strength. He's our very present help in times of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, even though mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, even though waters roar and troubled through the mountains, though the mountains shake with its swelling, we will not fear. So we need to say, even though the news says this or that, even though the schools are doing this or that, even though there's sickness this or that, I will not fear, for God is with me. No weapon formed against me will prosper, because God is for me. Amen? We need to remind ourselves that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. We don't have to be discouraged or dismayed when we've got the greater one, the one who created the heavens and the earth, in us and with us always. It seems a little silly when you think about it after a while, like, oh my gosh, the greater one is with me, the one who calmed the storm, parted the sea, caused rain, manna from heaven, you know, quail from heaven, did all the supernatural stuff, raised the dead, healed the sick, opened blind eyes. He is with me and in me. Who do I have to be afraid of? Why do I have to be discouraged? The devil is already defeated. Yeah. Jesus got the keys of death, hell, and the grave. So that means every lying symptom, every thought of discouragement is a lie from the pit of hell. And it can't do anything to you unless you let it in and give him a foothold. We need to know the word for this very reason and realize that doesn't belong to me. That comes from the enemy, and I resist you and your thoughts. I resist you and your feelings of discouragement, and I command you to flee, for the Lord is with me. The Lord goes before me and behind me, and he never leaves me nor forsakes me. Isaiah 41:10, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed. It seems like quite a few people throughout the Word of God had the same things happen to them. Why? It's repeated over and over. And God just, it was just on my heart, like, God's people need to be encouraged. Whatever you're going through, God knows it, and he's with you, but all you have to do is call upon him. Jesus, I just give you control of this situation. Jesus, I welcome you into the situation. Lead me and guide me. I thank you that you're with me. There's nothing to fear. I don't have to be discouraged because you're with me. Isaiah 41:10, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Hallelujah. He wants to help us. We have to give him permission. We have to call upon him. He wants us to have confidence and faith in him, that our help comes from the Lord. He wants us to not get discouraged and worry and fear about family, about finances, about health, about the world, about this or that. He wants us to run and look to him. He's the author and finisher of our faith. Like Daniel, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in Daniel chapter 3, starting with verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and God wants us to have this kind of confidence. Not worry about the arrow that flies in the day or the dread of the night. Not worry about what's happening in the world or, oh, we went through this, now what's going to happen next? God doesn't care. I mean, he cares. But he doesn't want us to worry about what the enemy's tactics are. He says here in Daniel 3:16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, King Nebuchadnezzar, we don't need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, they knew. If they're thrown into the depths, he's there. Amen. if we're thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve you or your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. Well, what happens? We know what happens. God never leaves or forsakes his people. He is in the fiery furnace so much so that they don't get burned and they don't even smell like smoke when they come out of it. And you know, sometimes the enemy tries to rage a storm in your life, or he tries to toss you around with the wind and the waves and the storm, or he tries to cause a fire, you know, or worry or fear in your life. Don't give him the satisfaction of yielding to it. Make a stand, fight the good fight of faith, and don't waver in the fact that you know you serve the living God and he will deliver me from this fiery furnace, or he will deliver me from this storm, and he will bring peace. But we must have faith, and we must invite him to do so, amen? There's a lot. Thank you, Jesus. God wants us to have confidence in him. Hallelujah. Joshua 1:9, he says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." So it's a common thing for the enemy to try to cause discouragement, try to cause us to get feeling down in the dumps, or you know, look at things in the natural and say, it doesn't look like what the word says. And the enemy tries to make you look at the natural and not believe the supernatural. Well, that's a lie. The kingdom of heaven is real. The kingdom of heaven is what is real. And what the enemy's bringing against you is the lie. So, we know, feelings and emotions can go like this, right? Up and down. It's like a roller coaster. But when we stay upon the firm foundation of Jesus Christ, we will not be moved. We will not be shaken. Amen. God will cause all things to work together for our good to those who love him. Romans 8:28 says. In Nehemiah 8:10, he says, "Don't grieve. Don't be discouraged, for the joy of the Lord is what gives you strength." It is your strength. Knowing that he is with you and he's never leaving you, that is your strength. That is where your help comes from. So don't be discouraged. Hallelujah. David figured it out. He figured out where his help was coming from. He figured out that if he tried to do this alone in his own strength, that he wasn't gonna win. We've tried to fight our own battles. I know I'm probably not the only one who's tried from time to time to try to make it through this or make it through that. God doesn't even want us to do it like that. Our help comes from the Lord. It's not by your might or by your power that you can live this life for the Lord. It's by his spirit and his strength. Amen? Exodus 15:2, it says, "The Lord is my strength and my song. It is he who gives me victory. This is my God. I will praise him. My Father is God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is my refuge, my stronghold in times of troubles." Psalms 9:9-10. We know the scripture, Isaiah 40:29-31. And God's given us the ingredients for victory. He's given us the ingredients to be successful. He says he gives power to the weak. That means at some point you might feel weak. And strength to the powerless. Maybe you don't feel like you could have any effect on the enemy. But he gives strength to the powerless. Whether you're young or old, he says even youths will grow tired and weary. Of what? Of attacks of the enemy. Of discouragements, of bombardments, of temptation. Even youth, if they're not depending on the Lord, they will grow tired and weary of trying to fight it on their own. And young men can even fall in exhaustion. But this applies to everybody, but those who will wait upon the Lord. He will renew their strength. They will soar high on wings as eagles. They will run and not grow weary, and they will walk and not faint. What is that? It's he who puts his trust upon the Lord. He who doesn't lean to their own understanding, like Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, you're not leaning to your understanding and how you feel or how your emotions feel, because the devil can throw lies in there. But what you're doing is you're trusting on the Lord, you're waiting upon him, and he renews your strength and he encourages you and he empowers you to live life successfully for the Lord. I know we all need to be encouraged sometimes. Something we could say to ourselves, Psalms 27, 1 through 3, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it's my enemies and my foes who are going to stumble and fall, not me. The Roman army, or you could say, you know, people are coming against me. My heart is not going to fear the war. Even though it breaks out against me, I will stay confident in the Lord. Why? Because we just found out about 50 scriptures. He's where our help comes from. He's where our strength comes from. God wants us to be encouraged today. To look to him. Don't look to circumstance. Things don't seem like they're working out for you. Doesn't matter. God causes all things to work together for the good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose. So what's the solution? Wait upon the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean to your natural understanding or your natural feelings, because they go like this sometimes. But focus your attention upon the Lord, because he is our firm foundation. Jesus is our cornerstone to which we will not be moved. When we build our house upon the rock, the winds and the waves can come, but it will not get us to fall. We'll be standing. God is trying to encourage us, stay standing. Don't let the devil move you. Don't let feelings move you. Don't let discouragements move you. Look to me. Call upon me. Wait upon me in your day of trouble. I will strengthen you. I will give you rest. The Lord speaks this to you. Isaiah 43, 1 through 3. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You're mine. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. Though the rivers, they shall overwhelm you, when you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned. And the flame shall not consume you, for I am the Lord your God. Basically, he's covering whatever you could possibly go through. I am with you. And I like how he says, I call you by name. So this isn't just like for that special someone in the Bible at that moment. This is like, I'm talking to you, Phyllis. I'm talking to you, Clayton. I'm talking to you, Paul. I will be with you in these hard times. Amen. Don't even give fear a moment of your time. Why? Well, Jesus left us peace. John 14, 27 says, peace I leave with you. What is that? It's a peace that passes all understanding, meaning your understanding, I don't understand how I could possibly have peace in the midst of this storm, in the midst of this war, in the midst of what's going on in the world. How could I possibly have peace? But that is the gift that the Lord gave. Peace and rest and assurance in the fact that he is with us always. And he fights our battle for us. And he already got the keys of victory of death, hell, and the grave. So there's nothing we need to fear. Because the greater one is with us. He is close beside us. He is in us. No weapon formed against us is going to prosper. All who rise against us will fall for those who put their trust in the Lord. David ended up saying in Psalm 62, 1 and 2, my soul finds rest alone in God. My salvation comes from him. He alone is my rock. My salvation. He alone is my fortress. Therefore, I will never be shaken. Take these passages and speak them over your life. I will not be shaken. I will not be moved. For the Lord my God is my rock and my fortress. These things, these winds, these waves, these attacks, these thoughts, these bombardments, these discouragements are not going to move me, for I am founded upon the rock of Christ Jesus, and no weapon formed against me is going to prosper. All who rise against me will fall. Right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, I cast down these thoughts and these imaginations. These are bombardments of the enemy. They're not of God's kingdom. So get out of here in Jesus' name. I'm not giving you place today, Satan. Respond to the enemy with confidence because the greater one is speaking through you. Jesus is speaking through you. When you speak with confidence, you're yielding your mouth to the Lord Jesus Christ. When I open up my mouth, miracles come pouring out. It's talking about our confidence in who we are in Christ Jesus. It's talking about you have power and authority that you can release through your mouth. Hallelujah. Two more scriptures. Psalms 112. It's a few more scriptures. 1 and then 7 and 8. Praise the Lord! Happy are those who fear the Lord. They are not afraid of evil tidings. Their hearts are firm and secure in the Lord. Their hearts are sturdy, and they will not be afraid. I will not be afraid. My heart is sturdy in the Lord. Psalms 91, 1 and 2. We know this passage, but it's a reminder of where our help comes from. You live. Listen, if you're living with the Lord, you're trusting in the Lord, you're waiting on the Lord, he says, you live in the shelter, in the house of the Most High. You abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You really think the enemy is going to try to tread in God's house? Nuh-uh. You can say to the Lord, he is my refuge. He is my fortress. He is my God. It is in him, not these circumstances. It is in him. He is where I put my trust. He is where I put my trust. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up here because God showed me to do something today. The Word of God says, for this purpose was the Son of God made manifest, to destroy, demolish, put to naught the destructor, put to naught the attacks of the enemy. For this purpose was the Son of God made manifest, to destroy every work of evil. To negate and nullify the curses or the thoughts or the feelings or the attacks of the enemy. You know, the Bible says one can put 1,000 to flight, but 2, 10,000. Sometimes if we're not getting breakthrough on our own, don't stay in hiding and say, well, I guess I just got to deal with this the rest of my life. Get in agreement with somebody. Because 2 can put 10,000 to flight. There's more power when we come together in agreement. Amen. So the Lord showed me, specifically me, my mom, and Amber today. I just follow what he shows me. There's those of you, you guys can start playing something, but there's those of you who maybe you've been bombarded, maybe you've been attacked, maybe you've had these feelings of discouragement have been trying to come against you. I don't know what area. But you've been feeling bombarded, or you've not had the breakthrough that you want in certain areas. God's here. And the anointing destroys the yoke of bondage. The anointing sets the captives free. So when we pray over you, yeah. When we pray over you, I just got a fresh little insight. It's the three of us laying hands on each one, okay? Any two of you binding anything on earth will be bound in heaven. The anointing is going to be released, and it's going to destroy and demolish that attack. I speak and I declare from this day forward, from the moment the anointing hits you, that attack is no longer going to be effective upon you. In the name of Jesus, these feelings of discouragement, no more. And I just speak and declare that every attack of the enemy is nullified against the body of Christ. I thank you, Lord, right now. So if you're one of those, just make one straight line down the center. If you're one of those, you want that anointing applied, then come on up.